service of Sunrise Broadcasting.
Transmitted immediately.
1230 The Voice is WXCO Wausau.
And welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Continuing today our verse by verse study through the book of Proverbs, we come to Proverbs chapter 6, and we begin in verse number 1. Don't know how far we'll get. I'm sure we'll get through the 6th chapter. Beyond that, I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes. Hope you're all having a great Thanksgiving weekend. And the Bible says we are to give thanks for all things and in all things. And we can do that because the Bible promises us that God is working all things together for good. Even bad things are working together for our good. Lord, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger. Now, I was talking about co-signing for a loan, which of course means that you are liable for the financial obligations of somebody else. You co-sign for someone, and they can't make their payments. You have to do it, or it counts against your credit score. And so God says, my son, if you have become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your own mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. In other words, you made a promise to co-sign, but you didn't really think through what you were doing before you did it. And if you did that, and now you realize that you made a big mistake, it's sort of keeping you up at night, you know? You have trapped yourself with your own words and you realize it. What do you do? God has some good advice. In verse 3, so do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. In other words, back out of that deal just as fast as you possibly can. You're better off saying, I made a mistake, and you're going to feel kind of foolish. But that's better than continuing on in something that you know was a mistake. Best just to humble yourself and back out any way you can. And so God says in verse 4, he continues, give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. And there are times when we have to move quickly. God does not always have us going at a very slow pace. It would be nice, but living in the real world means sometimes we have to pick up the pace. And I believe in prayer, but sometimes we must act and act fast. God brings a dangerous situation to our attention, then we honor him by getting out of that situation just as fast as we can. That's what he's saying right here in these verses. Don't sleep, don't slumber. Get going and do what you know you need to do. Verse 6. He changes gears here. Go to the ant, you sluggard, you lazy person. God is talking to a lazy person here. Consider her ways and be wise. And I just love how God uses a variety of things to speak to us and to teach us. He can use anything. And here God suggests that we study the ant. A lazy person should study ants because God can teach them something concerning diligence. Look at this again. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler. There are no bosses in the ant world. Do you know that? There are no supervisors. There aren't any ants sitting behind a little desk somewhere and drawing out plans. Look at 7 and 8. Which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Ants are self-starters. They work hard because it's the right thing to do. They work hard without anyone telling them to do it. They know that something needs to get done, and so they do it. It's that simple. They don't complain about having to do it. They don't look for somebody else to do it for them. They don't say, I think I'm going to take it easy today. I'm not going to work. No, they all chip. They all do their part. They all do what they can do. And they provide a good example for man. If something needs to be done, we shouldn't wait to be told to do it, or wait for somebody else to do it for us. We should just do it. He continues in verse 9, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? Getting the sleep we need is important. But lying in bed because we don't want to face life is wrong. It's impossible to run from the real world. Eventually, it catches up to us. Ready or not, choices have consequences, and being lazy is a bad choice that will lead to bad consequences. He says in verse 10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come on you like a robber, and your need like an armed man. In other words, if we sleep too long, we won't get done what we need to get done. And if we have several days like that, we're not going to be able to pay our bills. 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Now, again, God changes gears as we come to verse 12. He had been talking about a lazy person in the previous verses. And now here in verses 12 through 15, he's talking about a con man. And so let's read verses 12 through 14. A worthless person, A wicked man walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. He's just no good. He's unreliable. He's no good. He's a deceiver. He's a slick-talking snake oil salesman type person. This is the type of person who works very hard to gain your confidence with friendly smiles. But all the while, he's plotting evil against you. All the while, he is plotting to take advantage of you, to use you in some way. A flatterer. Verse 15, therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. God doesn't like people like this. You say God likes everyone. No, he doesn't. He loves everyone. He wants everybody to be saved. Jesus died for everyone. But God doesn't like people like this, who take advantage of others. Disingenuous people, deceivers, traitors. Well, he would love to see them come to repentance, but he certainly doesn't like how they behave. And so God says his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. You know that prisons and also hell are filled with smooth-talking deceivers who have hurt others. No one smooth talks God after they die. And no one will smooth talk him on judgment day either. The wicked go to hell without even a chance to plead their case. They have no case. And that's why God says, suddenly they shall be broken without remedy. Eternal hell fire lasts forever. You get in there, you're not getting out. No furloughs, no pardons, no weekend pass, nothing. Verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Now, I think people may be surprised to discover that God has a hate list. But he does. And it shouldn't surprise us, really. Because anyone who loves will also hate. If you are a parent and someone or something is threatening your child, you're going to get a head of steam and you're going to be filled with rage and you're going to go after it. I mean, we even see that in the animal world, don't we? Animals, wild animals, they protect their young. They hate anything that threatens the one that they love. Well, I don't know if animals love, but care about. And so if you hate, I should say if you love, you're going to hate. You're going to hate anything that threatens or hurts the one that you love. That's the way God is. He hates anything that hurts anyone who he loves, which is all people, which is why God hates sin, because he knows that sin is destructive. It ruins lives. It destroys souls in hell. And I think this is a real good time to take our 1 minute break. Please listen to this. You are listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
By the way, of what in your life are you most proud? A comfortable living, nice house, good marriage, lots of friends, love of your children, a goal that you've met, some very nice possessions? Truthfully, everything I've named and a lot more are the result of the Lord's mercies. Whether we know it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, The Lord's mercies are what carry us through every day. They are new every morning. Everything good we could ever own or ever name is God's gift to us. So, as you think about what sustains you each day, don't congratulate yourself too much. Thank God for His tender mercies, not only during this week of Thanksgiving, but always. This is By the Way.
Welcome back to our study in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6, resuming in verse 16. Just a word, if you want to be a part of this ministry, I would certainly welcome that. Pray for this ministry. That's one way you can be a part of us. And also through your financial support. My address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. The Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. In other words, God has seven things on His hate list. And the seventh thing on His hate list is the thing that He hates most. And we're going to look at these one at a time. Here we go. Verse 1, or verse 17. Number 1, a proud look. God hates a proud look. He hates pride. He hates it when people try to be the center of attention. You know how unseemly that is, don't you? I mean, you can tell when somebody's trying to be the center of attention. Do you like that? I doubt it. Because you just know it's distasteful. And God doesn't like it either. He hates it when people try to be the center of attention, the focus. And I'll tell you why. God should be the center of attention. Because He is God. And we are just sinful dust. That's what Scripture teaches. Even the best of us are dust. People have no right to be the center of anyone's attention, or expect to be the center of attention, or get upset when they are not. And so it says that God hates a proud look. He also hates a lying tongue. The Bible says that Jesus is the way and the truth. Everything that God says and does is based on truth. Lying is wrong because it is sin. It is wrong because it is contrary to God's holy nature. And it is wrong because it destroys relationships by destroying a person's credibility and trust. Any way you cut it, lying is bad and God hates it. There's another thing in verse 17 that God hates. Hands that shed innocent blood. This is talking about cold-blooded murder. It's not talking about manslaughter. It's not talking about an accidental killing. It's not talking about soldiers defending their country in war. It's not talking about a policeman who must do his job. It's talking about cold-blooded murder. The command is, thou shalt not murder. You've heard people say, thou shalt not kill. That's not the right interpretation. It means murder. That's what God hates. God created life. He created man in His own image and likeness, and therefore it is an unspeakable evil to murder. Or for that matter, to be angry at our fellow man, which Jesus equated with murder. Verse 18, God hates a heart that devises wicked plans. Another thing on God's hate list is someone who devises wicked plans. It's one thing to do wrong by accident. It's a whole different level of bad to sit down and plan ahead. God hates it when a person uses the mind that he gave them for doing good to instead devise ways of doing evil. Using what God purposes for good to do bad, that's the definition of sin. One of them, anyway. Again, verse 18, God hates a heart that devises wicked plans. He also hates feet that are swift in running to evil. God hates the mind that plans evil, and he hates the feet which carry it out. God hates it when people rush to take advantage of an opportunity to do evil. Some people are in a hurry to do what is wrong. They are eager to do what is bad, and they consider it a lucky break to have an opportunity to do it, because somehow they think it's going to benefit them. Well, it might benefit them short term, but you do anything that God hates, it's not going to benefit you in the long run. Verse 19, he hates a false witness who speaks lies. And so God also hates false testimony. Now, we've already seen that he hates lying in general, but I think he especially hates perjury or false testimony in court. It is wrong because it is a lie. It is wrong because it can lead to the acquittal of the guilty and the condemning of the innocent. Why does God hate it so much? Because God is a God of justice. One of his attributes is justice. Therefore, he hates it when anyone is misrepresented in any way. Verse 20. My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. God has a special message for every young person, and the message is this: if your parents give you advice that line up with Scripture, then listen to them. Because if you don't listen to their biblical advice, then you're not listening to God. The issue isn't, well, you're disobeying your parents. That's not the real issue. The issue is you're not listening to God. You're not obeying Him. It's about you and God, not just about you and your parents. And so he says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now, again, this assumes that what your parents are telling you is in line with Scripture, okay? And then he goes on in verse 21, bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck, meaning be so full of God's word that it goes with you everywhere and directs you no matter what you're doing. Assimilate the Bible into your soul so that it guides all of your actions and all of your words. You know, a lot of times we read the Bible, or maybe you sit and listen to the study on Sunday mornings with me, and you don't really get anything. It seems like nothing really jumps out at you. Don't worry about it. You're still feeding your spirit. It's still going down inside of you. And it's sanctifying you because it's the Word of God. And it'll help you. Verse 22. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. In other words, if we fill our souls with God's word, it will result in God's guidance. It will result in God's protection and in his instruction. See, these are all byproducts of us filling our souls with the word of God. Every chance that you have, put the word of God in you. 24, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids, being full of God's word and staying close to Jesus will help keep a man from being drawn into sin by the physical beauty of an immoral woman. 26. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Of course, guys don't usually think about this. But God is saying that a prostitute is satisfied with cash, but the sin of adultery wants more than just cash. For whatever few moments of pleasure there may be, adultery demands a man's life for payment. The wages of adultery are a man's life and his well-being. 27. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? Well, you can take God's word for it. You don't have to experiment with that one. If you pile a bunch of hot charcoals on your lap, you're going to get burnt. And you can take God's word to the bank when it comes to adultery as well. If you do it, you're going to hurt. And the hurt will be long-lasting, just like a burn, only worse. Verse 29. So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. Adultery will be punished, and it will be exposed. A disease may expose it. You know you didn't get that disease from playing tiddlywinks. A disease may expose it, or a disease may be one of the temporal punishments for it. Perhaps somebody will talk. The secret will be out. And there'll be public disgrace. Or maybe that won't come until eternity. It doesn't matter. One way or another, adultery will be paid for. 30. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. That's true. Most people would probably pity a person who's desperate for food, so desperate that they had to steal. They would pity the person, but his stealing would still be wrong. Verse 31. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Stealing is sin, no matter how desperate the thief may be. Stealing is inherently wrong, so it's going to be punished. So look at verse 32. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Adultery destroys a person spiritually and sometimes physically and in many cases socially. As permissive as this world has become, an adulterer is still looked down upon. 33, wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. God will forgive adultery if it is confessed, but God warns that people aren't so forgiving as he is. God warns that there's going to be a lot of trouble for a little bit of pleasure if one commits the sin of adultery. 34, for jealousy is a husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. All excuses ring hollow in the ears of an angry husband whose wife has committed adultery. Don't try to explain it. 35. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts. The pain that a person experiences when their husband or wife has been unfaithful is too severe for money to heal. Nothing can heal that wound except the grace of God. And probably time, because it is easier to forgive than it is to trust. Questions, comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau 54402-2211. You can email me, versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. Don't forget, if you're looking for a place to worship, come and join us Sunday mornings, Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. That's 10 o'clock, Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. Thanks for spending this time with me. So long, everyone.